Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and hotep. Welcome to the Care to Read Room and happy African American History Month. This is one of the shortest months of the year that we celebrate our heritage. And I want to remind you, we not only have a heritage, but we have a culture. So we celebrate a rich culture. So join me in celebrating African American History Month as we talk about the concepts that beset us. We've been talking about women and how they can endure and advance themselves. And we've been also talking about students and their ability to get involved with pre-college programs such as law. And we'll be featuring law concepts and law procedures throughout the month and how students can prepare themselves for the LSAT and what programs are available and out there that we can introduce them to as a preparatory opportunity to get into law. Now, we'll be talking more about the scholarships and what's available next week. This week, we would like to intrigue you to talk to a few of our activists, our young activists, who are really out there doing the doggone thing, and they need to be highlighted, they need to be accentuated, and they need to be interviewed. So we've taken the time out of our schedule to go out and seek those potential candidates who would be lawyers and bring them into our show. And as I scouted out earlier last week and this week, I found some of the best, cream of the crop, I'd like to introduce you to. And these are activists, and some of them are actually law students. And today's feature will be one of our young activists, and he comes to us by way of the Windy City, by way of Chicago, Illinois, the west side of town, and his name is Lorenzo McCray. He is a young activist. He will be telling us a little bit about his mentors and those who inspired him to become more than just a sideline looker, but someone who gets involved and who shoulders up the responsibility of their African-American community. He'll be talking to us a little bit about his desires and aspirations. And ladies and gentlemen, he not only is in college right now to get a bachelor's degree, but he has already obtained his associate degree and going on to complete his junior year in the area of communication and English. He is a specialist in that area, has a desire to work with young children, early childhood, and family life, one of my special featured areas, early childhood. So he'll be talking to us a little bit about why he became inspired to start seeking out law schools and how he got involved in the preparatory programs. And that's something that most African Americans don't know about. There are preparatory programs out there to get you geared up for that LSAT and for anything that will beset you in the area of law. Now, you do know we're talking about law, right? And that's what we'll be talking about for the next month, about law. Most people in this classroom know that I advocate for lawyers, and I do advocate for paralegals. It's very important that we know what our rights are. As a social studies teacher, we are going to be talking about street law as well. And as you know, we did a whole series on during African American Month where we talked about the black laws and we talked about natural laws. So we're going to be talking about how do you get prepared to become a law student? And do you always necessarily have to enroll in law school or can you become a paralegal? We're going to talk about why are women held back and why is it difficult for women and why is there so much bureaucracy for women to cut through in order to get into these male-dominant fields such as law? And how do they fare? So we brought an expert on to talk to us about his adventure in going through school, some of the things that beset him, some of the problems that he might have as a male candidate in school. We want to hear it from both perspectives. We want you to lock the dial in at 646-478-0270. And I'm going to say hello to our guests, and then we're going to take a station identification because we do have some house cleaning to do. Stay tuned. We'll be right back at you. And I'll say hello to our guest, Lorenzo. Good evening, Lorenzo.
Hello. Hello. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. And yourself?
I'm great.
Thank you so much for joining us, Lorenzo. We look forward to interviewing you and having you on our show. If you just stay tuned for 1 second, we'll meet you back in the atmosphere. And those of you who haven't locked that dial in, lock that dial in, low G, 646-478-0270, and keep it right there. Stay tuned, Lorenzo. We'll be right back at you in the atmosphere. And we're going to have those children, Stella Kwanzaa, again for us today. Because this is a show that acknowledges children. Thank you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you so much for joining our Care to Read Room. We are featured by African American Centered Programs by Project 2019, who underwrites the Care to Read Room. As you know, we are African Centered Room, and because this is African American History Month, I want you to join us by giving us your heroes and sheroes when we call out the names of our ancestors and we do our libation. Now, we're going to go over to the curator, not the curator read room, we're going to go over to the talking cure room where we do our prayer. And Lorenzo, if you'll join us, we'll go over and we lift our hands up to God as if we're about to receive. And we do a libation, and that libation helps us to remember who our ancestors were and whose back we stand on. Now, as we stand in position, we ask God to give us the ability to stand before him. And we also acknowledge Oladulamare. We say, thank you, God, the ultimate name that we know, the African God, Oladulamare. We acknowledge you, and we pour libations. We do not worship in this room. We do not worship idols. We worship and acknowledge the one and only God. We believe in a monotheistic God, the one and only Oladulamare, and we say Ashe. We also acknowledge our ancestors. We acknowledge our mother spirit by saying Yamanja, Ashe. We acknowledge our father spirit, Obatala. Now, these are my father images. However, you have your very own. And I say, Obatala, Ashe. Now, if you like to call out your personal mothers and fathers, those deceased loved ones who've actually made their transition, those who might still be in the middle passage, those who might still be making their way through the Red Sea, we acknowledge those loved ones and we call their names out. And I like to call my mother and father name out and light a candle for them as they find their way back to this particular area. They might be in a lagoon. They might also be sitting out there in the Red Sea. So I say, Mother, come and join us as we reconnect back to the greater circle. And I say, Ashe to my mother, Clara Jenkins. I say Ashe to Robert Jenkins. I call on the name of Eugene Lilly and say Ashe. I call on the name of Tommy Pete Harvey and say Ashe. I call on the name of Mary Lou Hawkins and say Ashe. Now, if you have any particular loved ones you'd like to call out, we call out those names and we acknowledge them because it's their backs that we stand on. Shake-ass Diops, we say Ashe. We call on the name of Dr. Carruthers, Ashe. We call on the name of John Henry Clark, Ashe. We like to call on the name of Nina Simone, Ashe. Harriet Tubman, Ashe. C.J. Walker, Ashe. And we call on these names because we know we gain strength through calling our ancestors. We stand on their shoulders and we say, so let it be, so let it be done, Ashe. And if you have any names that you like to call out, Lorenzo, of your heroes and sheroes, the ones who have passed on, who are deceased, you're welcome to do so.
My grandma Mildred, Ashe. My grandfather, Ashe. My grandfather Brock, Ashe, and my Uncle Benjamin, Ashe, and my baby cousin, Xavier, Ashe, and many of those who I lost, Ashe, that were loved ones to me, Ashe.
Ashe, Ashe, and we just like to offer up a prayer. Father God, we come before you with our heads bowed and our hearts humble. We ask that you would let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, on thee do we wait and on thee do we beseech for help. Guide us on the path of the righteous one, but not upon those who have gone astray. And we ask that you will please set precedence in this room so that every African-American knows the only question here today is to be or not to be African. That is the only question. Help us to be African every day. Help us to be reminded of who we are and that our ancestors were great ones and that we should not be ashamed of the accomplishments that they've made, but every day call out their names and reconnect them back to the greater circle. And we say, Ashe. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us on that opportunity to do that faith walk. And we do that, Lorenzo, so it strengthens us and gives us strength. I know a lot of people say, well, those people are dead and energy cannot die. We believe that energy only dissipates. You cannot recreate energy nor destroy it. So it's out there and available to us, and we tap into that energy every chance we get. And I hope we're in good order for doing that.
That's a very good thing.
I couldn't hear you. What did you say?
Okay, that's a very good thing. It's a blessing to do that.
Yes. We have to remind ourselves that most of what we're doing is it's been predestined by our ancestors, and they're the sum total of why we're here. We keep thinking it's in our own strength. It's not in our own strength. They have done the bulk of the work. We are just coming to bring the rear up, and if we can just remember to reconnect them back to the greater circle, then we can gain our strength from them. And some of these things that we're going through, we don't have to go through. We can call them back to help us. And I just want to say that we need the help right now. We're going to go through one of the worst times we've ever been through in our lives, and funding and money will not have the same effect. And when you cannot use money to spend it, you'd better call on your ancestors because they tell me that there's not enough gold to back up this currency that we're cutting, and pretty soon you have to go in the store and give carrot bars and carrot nuggets and give real gold because they're not going to take the paper. Did you hear what I'm saying?
Yes, I hear you.
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we have a fantastic person here that I'd like to introduce you to again. I'm going to reintroduce this young man. This is a young man that I met at the law school, a potential law candidate who was there to inquire about the pre-college program for an academy of law. He is an actual student in school at the university currently now. And as I indicated, he has an associate degree in liberal arts. He has already completed that associate degree and decided to go back to get his bachelor's degree in English and communication. And because he has such a love for education, he has also aspired to be involved in early childhood development and would like to work directly with children. And we discussed a little bit about how he could still own child development centers. He has done intern work, ladies and gentlemen, at the United African Organization, where he worked directly with Africans in showing them how to do technology work and also a bit of learning about English. So his English background comes right in handy as English as a second language. He has also aspired to become an activist. And that's what I became so interested in, his activation and his charisma in becoming an activist. And I asked him, did he really know what that means? And I'm going to have him tell us more about how he became an activist and what are the things that drew him to becoming an activist and who are his mentors. And we're going to bring him right in the atmosphere, ladies and gentlemen. Why don't you join us in welcoming our guest this evening? And we want to give our guest the highest honor and highest praise of what we do in this class when we bring on our drummers to bring him right into the atmosphere. Welcome, welcome, welcome. All right, Lorenzo, you are in the atmosphere. Thank you so much for joining us, Lorenzo.
No problem.
If you tell us a little bit about yourself and your aspiration as an activist.
Okay, my name is Lorenzo McCray, and I'm a junior at East West University. And what made me want to become an activist is that we as students, or we as children of God, we must have a voice that needs to be heard. And you can't be silent in this world. You have to know where you stand as a person and to stand up for what you believe in. So what made me become an activist is to speak on stereotypes, because I was stereotyped as something back in high school as a person that was homosexual, and I spoke about it, and I said, no, I'm not this. And it ended up going to something of making a documentary on homophobia, in which I learned that my peers who were in the video, they was not getting treated as equal as other people. And my peers, I wanted to say that people deserve equal rights. Some people may not believe that they deserve equal rights, but all people deserve equal rights, whether you're black, whether you're white, it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're gay or straight, you deserve a right to speak out, you deserve the right of equal opportunity in this world. And that goes for women also, of all colors.
Well, you know, Lorenzo, you said something that made a lot of sense. First of all, you know, the fact that you are a human being and that you deserve the right to be the person that you choose to be, and it's very, very important that people don't have the right to demonize you. When they demonize you, they can write you off and discount you so that they do not have to include you in decision-making. And a large group of the masses do that to people and say that these are the people that are demonized, who we may call porch monkeys, we may call lower socioeconomic people, we may call them the project people. They use all sorts of names so they don't have to credit them and get input from them. When they demonize you, it's very easy for them to eliminate you. Did you know that?
Yeah.
And everyone has a right, no matter where they are in life. They are God's children and they have a right. So I'm going to allow you to go on and expound upon that.
Yeah, I feel like in this world we all have the opportunity to fight for what we want as children of God. But the thing is, in this world, we also have to know how to divide ourselves from this world as we stand alone in this world. But the thing is that we never stand alone when we're standing with God.
That's so true. So true. And, you know, I am so glad to hear you have a position with God. I'm glad to hear that. When did you decide that you needed someone stronger in your corner than an outwardly expression, because some young men think that they have to gain this tangible thing outside of them, and it sounds like you have been doing some internal work.
Yeah, it had dawned on me a very long time ago, because I was going through some personal in my life, whether I liked it or not. It's like I had the support of my family to support me through who I was, but the thing is that I wasn't strong for myself. So I had to build upon that with my faith and believing in God. So that's why I stand alone. I don't stand alone in this world anymore. I stand with God. So that's why I made the relationship and made my way to commit my life to God and to be a vessel for God. And just tell my story.
You know, it seems like to me, when they said that it takes iron to sharpen, to make men, and only iron can sharpen iron, I believe that with all my heart. It takes so much to make men. It is so different when you rear female children opposed to the male children. It is so much that a young man has to be endowed with in order to develop confidence of his own identity. It's very hard for young black men to develop their own identity because they don't know who to be, and sometimes they have a tendency to want to please everyone, but they don't get that opportunity to develop their own character. When did you come into your own character and know that it was okay for you to make decisions and not wait for your parents to give you direction as to who you should be?
When my mom literally told me face to face that you are your own man now, you are grown. You have to make decisions that you want. And I can't tell you because I already guided you to support yourself in this lifetime. So you are your own man. That's what she told me. And my mom raised for being a sibling for other siblings. I was a baby and I'm also a twin. And me and my twin, we are very close, but we have to grow up and do what's right for us. And we both have dreams of becoming someone, of doing whatever we want to do, you know? And I just want to work hard and just do what was best for me. And that's what my mom told me, is just do what's best for you.
Well, you know something, Lorenzo, sometimes when a young male is being groomed by his mother and she is, to show that young man the ways of life, sometimes those young men get accused of being handpicked or being a mama's baby. And really, that's not the case at all. The mother is spending the time so that those little things like budgeting, handling money, handling relationships, is something that your mother could be imparting to you and helping you to be the person that you are. My interest is, when did you know you wanted to become an activist? When did this happen for you? And where were you? And do you remember what was the set of circumstances that caused you to want to be an activist?
Well, it was in high school when I was getting bullied. I was always bullied, and not just in high school, but also in elementary school. And I spoke about it. The first time I spoke about it was my senior year in high school, which I spoke about stereotyping, and where someone was stereotyping me for being gay and having HIV, and I was never sexual active. And it was a bad stereotype. And I said, I must speak about this because being stereotyped is not a good thing at all.
And you know what? It's a good thing you did fight, because a lot of times you're inadmissible to respond to it. It's almost like a statement that you accept it. And if you don't fight to take those stigmas off you, then they can become attached whether you are or not, and you have to carry the weight of that burden. And there's too many young people carrying the weight of burdens in high school. And when I taught in the junior high, I saw a lot of young people having to carry burdens, and they didn't know how to get these burdens off. Some of these young people ended up injuring themselves, trying to commit suicide because they wanted to be accepted. And some young people don't understand that when you take a stand to speak out against and advocate for yourself, that is the first beginning of being an activist.
Yes, it is. And it does so, I mean, the fight verbally, it brings you out of so much. And that's another thing. I believe that love, no matter what a person goes through in life, love can bring you out of anything. That's another thing. I believe that by the faith of God. Because I know that Jesus Christ, our Savior, I'm just getting off a little course, but just bear with me. Jesus Christ, our Savior, he showed love by action. He didn't say, I love you. He showed it by action. That's another thing. So I didn't want to fight physically, but I want to fight verbally or what stereotype means.
Well, you know, let me say this to you. You've gone beyond that, I see. You've gone beyond that into another whole level of things. You are an academician. I'm proud of you for being an academician. It did my heart good. Did not our hearts burn when we saw each other as African Americans in that law retreat? And when we saw each other, did not our hearts burn that we reached out to each other to say, thank God that there's one of us in here that has an interest. So when I saw you and the other gentlemen in that room, and there were a handful of minorities, yet that program was focused around minorities and the African Americans. So my question was, did somebody do due diligence to go out and find the African Americans, or did they just say, well, let them come if they may, and give this funding and money to other people who might not be of a melanin and a rich, and those are dollars once again taken out of our community because people claim they can't find us. What do you say about that, Lorenzo?
I would say that it's out there, and that we as humans, we have to look for what we want. So I wouldn't say that it's a blame game, but it's out there for us, and we just gotta take it and look for it because it's not going to come to us.
And when you say take it, what do you mean? Take it by force or take it because you
no.
just show up? Or are you going
no.
to have to open up your mouth and voice your opinion?
I would say open up your mouth and voice your opinion. I wouldn't say take it by force because that would be a rude thing, but it's okay to be assertive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, there's more battle fought with the power of the pen than anything. One of the things that I was very, very glad to see is that mentoring program also helped people to exert themselves, to be assertive, and that's something that a lot of young people don't know how to do. They're not taught assertive behavior and how to use your voice to get people off of you, how to use the power of the pen to whoop people. I used to whoop a lot of people, and they said, why are you so harsh with your tongue? I said, because I never learned to fight, and I didn't want to have to get physical with anybody because I was very mean as a young child. So I said, let's learn to use the power of the pen. And sometimes you can whoop people more with the power of the pen. Don't you think so?
Yes.
Lorenzo, tell me, you know, what is your desire to go into law? And what are the things that you are intrigued about law? And how do you feel about women in law? Do you feel that they're given a fair shake at getting involved in law?
Well, in this day and lifetime, it can't be a two-parent household. I mean, what I'm trying to say, it can't be a one-parent household anymore. There has to be two parents working in this economy. And I feel like women need an equal opportunity because what anything that a man could do, I believe that a woman could do it better and equally.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you think that are some of the problems that beset African-American lawyers these days with the excessive amount of lawyers now, and then there's more competition? What do you think that there's a shortage of African-American lawyers in African-American communities? Or what is your opinion, and how can we utilize lawyers how do we help those young people go to law school? Lorenzo? Okay. Lorenzo?
Yeah, hello?
Oh, okay. For a minute, I was asking you a question. How do we offset the problems that are in our Black African-American communities, such as our males going to prison? And how do we become activists in the community so that we can work in some of these law clinics to help some of our people who can't afford law?
Yes, just by giving an equal opportunity and chance to go into these communities and talk with these people who need to ask equal, who need their voice to be heard, because it needs to be changed. For one, I was one who lived in an urban community in the project on the west side, who grew up there for 13 years, if not there anymore. But it's a lot that needs to be done for the black community. And I feel
and
that
you are so right, Lorenzo, because racism is in its rarest form, and the mental racism where they want to eliminate human bodies off the face of the earth and get rid of imbeciles and people who they deem demonized. So you're right. If we get the stereotypes off, then they cannot dispute that we are needed people in society and that we cannot be written off. When you can write a people off, it's very easy to not make plans for them in the future. But we have to make our own plans for ourselves. We have to write ourselves back in history, and we have to not only take positions as titles for our names, we have to be visible in making long-term plans. African Americans were once accused of not being able to make long-term plans, and that's part of the problem. So if we put ourselves in history with long-term plans and utilize those opportunities to have platforms where we can put ourselves into law and write the laws, part of what happens is that this law that we look at now is distorted and it needs to be rewritten. How would you make a difference in the area of law if you had an opportunity to come in to take a position as a judge?
I would give everybody an equal opportunity to fight their case, and I would put race as an aspect of it all, because as a human being, we all deserve a fair trial, and sometimes these trials are not fair or equal because they always given in race, and you probably see sometimes white judges giving black males sentences that they can't bear or can't live through, and it's really bad. It's not equal, I would say, at all.
Do you think we need a sovereign law where we govern our own society of people, where we determine the types of judgments to put on those particular people who are brought into courtrooms? Do you think we need our own courtrooms, and do you think the law system needs to be redone all over again?
I would say probably not, because we just need to fight our way in it verbally and not physically. We just need to continue what we're doing and work our way up, because I know things are gonna get better in the long run.
To concur with you on that. I really will, Lorenzo, but I don't have the kind of hope you have in that respect, because when you have a system that's already planning for prisons by counting children at the age of at the grade of third grade, if they can predict the number of children who are not reading at third grade to determine how many prisons will be built, then literally they should be able to enroll you in some type of college and take that same money that it takes to house you in prison and educate you. But if they prefer to imprison you and not rehabilitate you, then they're writing you off once again. So I would say that maybe we need to overhaul the institutions called judiciary, and we need to look at whether or not they're fair. And if they are not fair, if time given to a white male opposed to a black male is different, then how do you make a decision on that when they have ruled against you once again because of the fact that the laws are different? So maybe we do need to govern our own selves because of that particular point. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think you're correct. And I kind of, now I agree with you for you breaking it down that way, because it needs to be a change then. Because if they're deciding children that's in third grade whether they're going to be in prison or not, then something needs to change. A lot needs to change.
A lot. And when you say you were living in the projects, I know you felt the disparity, and I know you understood what was going on, because it's obvious for a lot of people who live in lower socioeconomic projects to see that, because they see it every day, and they cry out, and sometimes their cry and anger ends up with those people being in jail, being drug out and called out because they want them to shut up. But an activist can't shut up. So how does an activist protect themselves? What do they do?
They fight verbally. Like I said, they fight verbally, and they keep on pushing on the issue until they get what they want, verbally. And that's what you stand at. You don't want to physically fight, but you have to fight verbally with your words, and to fight with your heart, with the faith of God with you, and to know what you want and what you need and what you're going to get. No matter how long it takes.
I like what you're saying there. I really do. I really do. I believe that an activist is someone that sees an injustice no matter where he is, and injustice done to other people is an injustice done to all people. And the injustice that happens over in Chicago hurts me here in Indiana. And that's a true activist, where an activist is ready to get involved to make a change. But you also have to learn how to fight your battles, and you have to learn that some of the wars you might not win and some of the battles you might win. But it's very important to know that where you stand is on the side of Creator. You don't stand alone. And I like what you said when you mentioned your spiritual connection to God. We all have to understand we are nothing but frequency and energy. If you don't align yourself with high frequency, you will not have the authority to fight off the principalities, because you war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities in high places. Now, let me ask you some questions. Your counterparts, your friends, do they believe like you believe?
You said my departure friends?
Yeah, most of your friends that you hang with, or some of the friends that you do different things with, do they think as serious-minded as you do about being an advocate and being an activist?
I do have supportive friends, and they are positive friends. Like, they are really there for me. And, yes, they do have a spiritual way of their own beliefs. And I connect my people with people who are proactive and positive and upright with God also. I can't be around negativity, because negativity brings a person down, and negativity also likes misery, and that's not a good thing.
What about the activism part? Are they geared up? Do they have mentors? Do they know the causes and issues that you are dealing with? And how do you guys stay on top of things so you know which issues are out there that needs to be addressed?
Well, one of my friends who is homosexual, she's a female, and she always had a dream of, we both had a dream of making a magazine, coming out with a magazine that's called Pride. And that was our dream in the making, like coming out with a magazine that talks about issues that not only teens go through, but not just teens, but other African Americans go through in their life. That talks about success, that talks about money, that talks about many things that this world needs to be talked about.
So your friends do share in some of the opinions that you have. That's good. And you know, Lorenzo, it's a good thing to have good, real friends, because there's so many young people who are disconnected. They go into college, they become depressed because they're disconnected. And a lot of times older people, They create this disconnectivism in young people. They make them feel like they're on the outside, and they continue to disconnect that person until they feel like once they get them alone, they can antagonize and break them down. Do you ever feel like, as an activist, people are pointless, or they're purposely trying to break you down and break your spirit?
Yeah, it's always going to be someone it's always going to be someone that's going to be like that. But you have to know where you stand and know that in your heart that you never stand alone when you're with God, and to just avoid yourself from it and say, this is who I am. Can't nobody break me down, and keep it moving.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Keep it moving, because, see, you know, if you dwell on negativity too much, you become negativity. Now, let me ask you another thing. Your higher force, do you spend time with God, and what do you think, where do you draw your strength from?
I draw my studies from the Bible. I read the Bible. I also pray a lot and I just thank God throughout my day.
Okay. Now, young people, they're having fun, and they just want to have fun. What are some of your aspirations, and what are some of your dreams and desires that you hope to do before you transition from this earth? Because a lot of young men don't believe they're going to live past 25. What are your aspirations, and what do you desire to do, and what is your purpose here? What you come here to do?
My purpose is to just help people become a lawyer, not just a lawyer, but also a law teacher in high school. Like, I said that if I could become a law teacher in high school, give people the opportunity to work their way up to wanting to become a lawyer, then that would be a good thing to do. I just want to make people smile. If I could bring a smile on someone's face, then that would make me smile, helping out and servicing others.
You know, sometimes when you find a young, depressed brother or sister, that's the hardest thing in the world to do, because they cannot find any positivity in this world, and they just want to transition and leave this earth and this plane, and they find it so difficult to see the good in anything. How do you think those young brothers should what is the antidote? What is the medicine that they should take in order to see some hope in a bad situation?
They need love, because like I said before, love is the only thing that will bring you out of whatever you're going through. You need love and support of people that's positive, that's around you with love. You don't want to be judged, because judging will not bring a person out of what they're going through. Only love will. I believe that love will bring a person out of anything. And that's the only thing.
I agree with you on that. I wholeheartedly, even the racism that's in this country, I could take a person who's racist and turn them completely around with love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People have not experienced real true love. When you express real true love to someone and genuinely listen to that person's heart, they will befriend you, black or white, because they want someone to see them and to notice those idiosyncrasies that they're going through. And once you are drawn to understand and see that person's heart and what they're going through, they don't care if you're black or white, they know you are listening intimacy in their life that cares about them. Even children know that when you see them in class and you really remember their names and something about them, they're drawn to you. They want to be you. They want you to be their favorite teacher forever. And I always used to make a note of learning every child's name by the first week of school. And then when I could call their names out, they would look back and say, you really remember my name. How did you remember my name? You got 148 students. Because I told them, you mean something to me. And those children then will become your best friend, because they want you to see what's in them. Because a lot of teachers look over children. They don't have any idea. They all look the same. I said, every child is unique, and I find that unique thing in every child and help them to expound upon it. What is your unique thing?
Now, you just being nice. That's one of my unique things. It's probably just being nice. My friends tell me that I'm too nice, and I say, you just got to be sometimes. But it's okay to be nice, but sometimes you have to be assertive. Nice, I suppose, sometimes too, but they say that I'm very nice.
Well, let me say this. Sometimes mothers have to be very mean. But when they know you are a nice person, you have to show the mean side, but then you oftentimes show the good side too. I try to tell parents to often find yourself saying yes to a lot of things. When you can say yes to a lot of things, then it's very easy to say no to those things that they don't really need.